Hey, got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio. Hope you enjoyed the ad break. And I want to welcome Mike Jewell to the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Aaron.
So Mike's topic, general topic, is longevity, but today he wants to talk about purpose. Well, not but. Within that, he wants to talk about purpose. And why, Mike? Why is purpose relevant to longevity?
Okay, we're going straight in.
Yeah, was that what I was supposed to do? Was I supposed to just let you talk?
Should we just have a preamble?
Okay. Give us your preamble.
So I can warm up the nerves.
The vocal cords?
We're just going straight in.
No, it's up to, okay. It's really up to you, actually.
Okay. Well, so basically the talks that I've been coming in, that we've been talking about, have been part of the longevity, well-being, holistic health kind of topics.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about before there was the Blue Zone study with the people that live the longest in the world, and they identified 9 common elements amongst these places. And we wrote a workshop series years ago, which we kind of used that as a template, but we distilled it down to 6 six elements that encompass longevity.
Right.
Well-being.
And when Mike says we, it doesn't include me.
It includes me and some other people in the health world.
Okay.
So the topics, the elements that compose of well-being, longevity, are movement, rest, purpose, simplicity, community, and real food. And the whole concept is that for overall health and longevity, these elements all come into play, and they interact with each other, and there's not one thing in isolation.
Yeah.
So previously we've talked about simplicity and community, I think, and maybe rest. And today we're talking about purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think purpose, when you look at these studies, is actually, I'm almost going to say it's probably, if there was a hierarchy in the elements, it's probably the number one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Completely nothing at all to do with our physical health.
Nothing at all, yeah.
Like completely. Getting fit and eating well.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, if you look at the Blue Zone study, for example, they talk a lot about purpose, and they talk about faith. They talk about actually, I'm going to say purpose and faith. But something that's guiding you, something that's bigger than you, something that gives your life a reason.
Yeah.
I actually wrote down a quote. There was a quote from my notes somewhere.
All right, give us the quote.
So maybe that's a good lead-in.
Yeah, hit us.
So it says, life is said to be intolerable unless some reason for existing is involved, some purpose justifying life's trials.
Who are we quoting?
Oh, I didn't write that down. You know, these are universal truths, right?
It's actually, I'm sure many people have said that or words to that effect.
Exactly.
Yes.
The reason that purpose is such a strong element in our health, which seems, like you say, it's not necessarily obvious. So we talk about food, exercise.
Well, it's not obvious to our culture. Mm. And not of us to our scientific faith that permeates our culture.
Mm.
But I know that was a loaded statement there. But, yeah, I guess we learn as we get older the importance of purpose.
Mm.
I mean, did you have a job when you were younger that you look back and you go, why on earth did I do that? I couldn't wait to get out of that because it was so meaningless.
Yeah,
it didn't suit me.
I've got so many of those which I think about. where I was, you know, like labouring or laying bricks or something, where I was like doing it, say, as a student job, for example, and I was maybe digging holes all day, and I was doing it to get some money for whatever, And when I look back at it, I'm like, man, life's so short. Like, I could have even then I was running the belief that that's just what I had to do.
Yes.
There was probably some other really epic jobs that would have actually bounced me out of bed a bit more in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't probably until later in life that I was like, well, it's in terms of work, which I can talk about a bit later, actually, how it fits into work. But, you know, that actually, you know, you can live every day from every age where you're up and you're into it and you're loving it and you're, you know, you don't have to actually not feel that.
I have a worse purpose and work story because oh, there's lots of people waving through the window at the moment. Little kid's been held up. I would have been fine. I was fine on building sites for holiday jobs.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
But working in the building industry and architecture firms after that, because I didn't have a personal sense of purpose, even though I was actually doing something that I'd always wanted to do, like I'd always wanted to design houses and design buildings, my lack of purpose for my wider life meant that I was just kind of adrift in that job, and it spat me out after a few years. I spat myself out, really.
Because you didn't, yeah, you didn't have a why.
Yeah, yeah, it was, do you hear Simon Sinek's videos, or is that where you got that from?
No.
I was like, oh, never mind, that's another distraction.
Okay.
Stick to the topic.
Okay, okay. So yeah. I just want to preface.
But it's not all about work, is it?
It's not all about work. So, yeah. But I just want to preface that what I just said about digging holes all day, and like you said, you did that and you enjoyed it. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to do. I'm saying for me, my skills were more dealing with people. That's what got me excited for the day, right? So I wasn't a hands-on, practical guy. That I was never going to be a tradie because it didn't excite me.
Mm.
So I'm not. I'm just saying this like horses, of course, you know.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And that's the whole point of purpose, is that actually you can define.
Totally.
Those things.
Totally. Yeah. So anyway, purpose. Why is it part of you know, the well-being picture or the longevity picture? And it gives us a couple of reasons. It focuses us. So what is my life about? What am I about? So you can focus on that and you can actually let go of all the other stuff that's not important. Whereas when you don't have that kind of North Star, you can be, like you said, adrift a bit more, and kind of, you know, you can be scattered and focused on lots of things, which might not be serving you. Once you feel your purpose or your vision, you can kind of zero in on that. I will also say on that, being scattered isn't necessarily a bad thing either.
It's part of the process.
It's part of the process. Mm. So often getting to that clarity. In my own experience, has always been being completely scattered and doing all sorts of things, and then I'll come into some sort of clarity.
Well, trying something and discovering you don't like it does help you to narrow the world down a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. So, yeah, it gives focus, gives you meaning. It's also a creative thing. So if you've got a sense of purpose. And a vision, you're actually creating your life, because you've actually got you know what you're about, you know what you're trying to, where you're trying to get to, so you're taking those actions and you're creating rather than life kind of happening around you without you being part of it. And I think it's quite a human thing to feel like we're in control of our life, and we're, you know, if we're doing that, we're feeling good.
It's probably quite a core need. To feel in control of your life.
Yeah, it is. And if you look at with your kids, their primary thing they want to feel is in control. So when you're taking
autonomy. Yeah.
So that when you're taking control out of their hands, that's when you're fighting a battle. But the moment kids feel empowered, they're calm and they feel good about life.
Yeah, our culture's still learning about that. Yeah. There's an assumption out there that, and it's no one talks about it, but an assumption based on how I see kids treated is that they don't need autonomy until their 18th birthday. But it's such a core human need.
Yeah.
And it explains why people do, you know, you see, those teenagers do dumb things. Well, they're just trying to establish that they have some control over their lives.
Mm.
Like, and what better way to do it than to do a crazy thing that has no purpose or benefit?
Mm.
You know, you're certainly showing you do have control of your life by doing that. Especially, yeah. And also especially if someone told you not to do it, all the more reason to do it. Right? That's how important autonomy is. I don't think we realise.
Mm.
We just think the kids are going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And this, you know, no one ever thrived when they were under control of someone else.
No.
It's just never happened.
No.
So the things that make up purpose is like this. There's lots of kind of people say, how do I find my purpose? I don't feel clear on that.
You've got a 5-step process.
There's a process, which, you know, if you're a process person, is good.
Oh, okay, you actually got a process.
There's a process.
I thought it was a lot about just bashing around and crashing around in the world, bumping up against things, and finding out the kind of through experience.
Yeah, and I think that's how I've come to it. But I think that's how we do come to it, to be fair.
Mm.
But there's always someone trying to put a process around something.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've got one that works, or might even work.
So they talk about it's almost like an equation. So if you get clear on your values, what are your values in life?
Mm, yeah.
Then you combine that with what are your strengths, and then what are your passions? So values, strengths, and passions. And then the final part is, what do I want to give, or how do I want to be of service? Those four things combined can often come to some sort of clarity on what's your purpose.
Okay.
So even if you didn't, you know, follow some sort of linear process, which, like you say, it's not a linear thing, but if you just subconsciously had those in mind when you're trying to, if you don't feel clear, you know, they can slowly come to you, like, what am I actually about? What are my values? What gets me out of bed in the morning? What am I passionate about? What am I good at? And then, you know, you start to funnel into some sort of clarity.
I can tell you the opposite way of doing that, because that's what I did.
I'd love to hear it.
I did well at school. I did what I was told, never got in trouble. Right, and I knew how to please all the adults in my life and do all the things they wanted and take their advice. I was taking other people's advice, never listening to, shutting down my own inner voice that would have told me some of those things, what I was passionate about. And you think about a job when you're at the end of school and you're like, I was quite good at geography. That was my best topic. So maybe that would be, it's not where I went, but that was kind of the process. Like, and school subjects are actually, the subject you like best at school is not an indication of what you should do for a career. Like you talked before about working with people, and I'm actually the same. I need to work with people. That didn't occur to me I didn't solve that one till I was about 40. But I ended up in another career, kind of adrift, like I said before. I was drifting, but it seemed like in a very responsible way through my early 20s, because I was doing what society said I should do. I went straight to university, I got a degree, I went into a career, you know, professional career, did all the right things, and I was like, what on earth is going on here?
Yeah.
Why aren't I enjoying this? You know. And it took.
So what were the steps from there to getting clear on what you really wanted to do?
So when I met Karen and we were planning to get married, that brought some focus that I'd never had before, because someone else was in the picture. It was like I didn't really care about myself, but her future mattered to me. So that was one step. But it wasn't until this job when I was 40 that I really understood. Like from 30 to 40, I was in charge of my life, but I was still doing a lot of stuff alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had experiences, and I was like, gradually I worked out that I should be working with people and working out the things that mattered to me that I was passionate about. But yeah, 25 years late, really. That should have been when I was 15, you know.
Yeah.
I wish it was.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's just jobs, right? That's not even about the rest of my life.
The rest of your life, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I think you're lucky in life if at 15 you can have that clarity.
There's only a few. Yeah. But my advice is, don't listen too much to the advice you're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
To yourself. You've got to learn to listen to yourself, or relearn. Oh, we listen to ourselves when we're little, when we're babies. It's all we know about.
Yeah.
is how we feel. But yeah, somehow we'd unlearn that.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And I think the cool thing these days is we do live in a time where that's promoted more, just with access to information through the internet. Mm. We live in a time where people will question how things are done. So although, you know, like we haven't transitioned into some new paradigm completely, I think there is a lot more autonomy and people kind of and also opportunity to be able to follow what you really.
But do you think that because you live in Raglan and you're surrounded by people who are living life on their own terms?
Maybe. Yeah, you've always got a lens, eh?
Yeah, I suggest spend a year in Hamilton. Well, I don't actually know. I don't know if that was if you'd get a different perspective in Hamilton or not. But
yeah. No, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. And there's always, probably through the ages, there's always been people leading the way. Eh? That, you know, it's always been an age old thing that you'll go to somewhere and there's a group of people completely doing things the way they want to do things. Yeah, that's true. I had another quote. Who again? I don't know who it's from.
Oh, give it to us.
To lead a purposeful life, follow your passions. When we live a passion-filled life, we are living on purpose, and that's the purpose of life.
Do you know when I this will be a good little anecdote. When I first got involved with the radio station, like I was 31, I think. And like when I first, there was this mail out came around in the letterboxes, and it was the schedule of the station, and on the back was like, come and be a DJ. And there was something I knew I wanted to hear on the radio station, and I suddenly got super excited about it. And I'd never felt like that about my degree or my career or anything like that, like when I was doing that. But this connecting to this place, it was like this really powerful drive. Like I couldn't not do it at that point.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that's like, and that was just as a volunteer. It wasn't this job. That didn't happen for another decade.
Yes. Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a, like, that's that's a sign.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. And just to follow that, you know, because a lot of reasons why we don't follow those things is fear. So we're like, well, how am I going to make a living doing that? Or how am I going to, is that an acceptable thing to do in life within the existing norms? Or and actually when you know the cool thing about that concept is I remember hearing a guy years ago, he's an old guy, and he was talking about, I can't remember, he was an artist I think, and he was talking about that this exact topic of like the fear of following your passion, like how am I going to provide, you know, get a living. Or and he said the thing in life is if you're passionate or driven with something, you're going to become an expert, and there's always demand for an expert. And also, if you're passionate about something, you will create a demand for something because people will see your passion and will be like, I didn't even know that it was a thing. So
yeah, that's really good.
He kind of talked about this. You can't fear that because it'll always provide for you because it's so clear and, you know, it resonates.
Yeah, we've got to learn to take risks, especially when we're young. I remember I had this job, my first proper job using my degree, and in a firm that was not a lot of fun to work for. And I thought, naively, I thought, I'll go overseas for a few months and come back and I'll probably like it better. But I came back and, like, of course, it was worse because I came back to a place I wasn't enjoying. And so within 6 months, I was gone again.
Yeah.
And that time, I went overseas again, and that time I did it. Like, I was relatively fearful. Like, the idea of going overseas and not having a job to come back to kind of scared me. But at that point, I was disliking the job so much, I just had to do it. And then that's when I learned to take a risk, because I was very risk averse when I was young. But yeah, and then that taught me, I came back and I found a job pretty quickly. Like, it wasn't really a problem at all.
Yeah, and often you need to be forced into a position.
Yeah, it took a lot of discomfort, eh?
Yeah, you've got
a lot of discomfort to force that lesson on me. But yeah. I guess And if I still had felt a lot of fear at that point, I just would have stayed in the job even longer and got even more discomfort.
Yeah.
So eventually I would have been pushed.
You would have been
no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah, so you, yeah, and if you look at kind of anyone that's led the way in doing, you know, extraordinary things or different things, they've always been, it's always started with going against the grain or, you know, people thinking they're crazy or, you know, you can go to an extreme example of someone like Elon Musk who, you know, probably everything he's done ever, and it, love him or hate him, take that away. Just the fact that he's completely followed his...
He's obviously got an ability to shut out the noise.
Yeah.
Because there's a hell of a lot of noise around him.
Yeah, for sure.
More than anyone else on the planet, probably.
Probably.
Certainly in the Western world, yeah.
Yeah. And you look at that and you can't count on two hands how many like amazing things he's done, and imagine the drive that he's got.
Yeah, well, he's fairly unique.
He's unique. That's why I'm saying that's an extreme example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it does clarify things.
Yeah, well, he's just showing you
extreme example.
What isn't possible, you know? He can show you that anything's possible.
Did you have a moment in your life where you changed career and people around you were like, your friends or your family were like, oh, that's not a good idea. What are you doing that for?
Yeah, I probably have, but I have, because I have changed things a few times, even in recent years. But I feel, to be honest, if anything, I've had more support than not.
Yeah.
Which has always been a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously there's always, it's a bit tentative where I think there's a natural kind of, like, you're worried about, is that going to work out? But in general, if someone feels your passion, then their support more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything?
What else have you got?
Where else was it going?
You've got another side of the piece of paper, Mike.
I do. Oh, yeah. So the other part of this that I was going to quickly talk about, and me and Aaron talked about this just briefly before we started talking, was the guy that you interviewed yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Master Sun Yung. I'm mispronouncing his name.
Yeah.
He told me how to do it and I've forgotten. He's Korean, yeah.
And you talked about, I didn't hear the interview, but I'm definitely going to listen, that he broke his back in three places and kind of fixed it himself.
Yeah, he was already a master of whatever we're saying he's a master of, because mm-hmm. he's used several modalities, including Tai Chi. So he already had that ability, and the doctors told him he wouldn't walk again.
Mm.
And he walked out within a couple of days, I think.
It's amazing, eh?
Yeah, like even super fast. So, yeah. We were jokingly calling him the Korean Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, he's the Korean Joe Dispenza. And
he's going to be here tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the town hall.
Yeah, that sounds like something we're seeing.
Book at Eventbrite if you're curious now.
Awesome, man. Like, yeah. What an awesome story. And like that kind of, you know, made me think about Joe Dispenza. Like when I did the show on Raglan Radio.
Your old radio show. Yeah.
Yeah, play quite a bit of his stuff. And, you know, like he had the similar story. So he broke his back and then was told the same thing. And then he healed himself and he talked about having a vision of what he wanted. Mm. So he wanted to be healed and be able to be mobile and do all the things that he did before the accident, etc. So he set up a future vision for himself and he repeated that. He was in hospital and he repeated that over and over and over, and he talked about, how would I feel if I was healed? How would I think? How would I act? So, and then he just brought those feelings in and that how he'd think, and he started becoming the healed person.
Yeah, and now he's done a lot of research and he understands how that worked. I don't know how he knew to do that when he started. He had this strong belief that would work.
True.
He also had a powerful motivation, because I think they said they could repair his back, but he'd never really be very mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be able to walk, but he kind of,
with like, rods and in his back.
Yeah, I can't remember the details, but it was not a pretty picture.
That's right.
So the motivation to try something else was probably pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, it's like with your work when you just couldn't do it.
I feel like his motivation was stronger than mine.
It's more, scale on scale.
Yeah, it's definitely scaled up for him. Yeah,
but he talks about having a future vision, which for me is, it's same as having a sense of purpose or something that you're working towards or something that you're creating in your life. And I think that's a really big part of health and well-being is having something, a future that you're working towards, that you're creating, that you're looking ahead. And it doesn't mean that you aren't present or that you are not remembering the past, but you are in your life, you're constantly creating I think that's a massive part of feeling a sense of purpose. And from what I see, that message is repeated throughout lots of literature, this is a really common thing, is to, if you're walking around with a future vision and a plan or a goal then your general sense of happiness and health is better.
Sports people talk about visualization too, the power of visualization being really important.
Totally. Yeah. And you can, it doesn't have to be like major, it doesn't have to be some 5-year goal, 1-year goal. It can even be just things coming up in the week so through a week, I've got these awesome things coming up, or in the month, so you can kind of break it down and use that tool to create a sense of anticipation, or that something good's coming. And I, like, an example of that is we just went away for a month, for 3 weeks in July. I took Jan to Bali, which was amazing, really lucky to do it, and we planned that trip 6 months ago, so we actually got, although the trip was 3 weeks, we actually got 6 months.
Oh right, yes, a benefit out of it. Yeah, of the anticipation.
Anticipation and planning and thinking. And
at Jan's age, the anticipation would be a powerful thing.
Yeah. And my age.
And even
so, it was just like such an awesome thing. And then obviously we've got the flow on effect of, we just did that. And then it's like, what's the next cool thing? And what's the next cool thing that's going to give us 6 months of fun? And it's something that's not even happened.
Anticipation. It's powerful. Yeah.
I think that's pretty much everything I had to say.
Okay. So we're been talking purpose as part of a series on longevity with Mike Jewell. And I should have said this at the start, but like, are you classify yourself as a coach, life coach, or is that?
Well, no, I don't. I classify myself as a massage therapist, I guess. And
but we didn't talk about massage today.
No, but as part of my work, a lot of this comes in, and I do use a lot of with health and recovery, I use a lot of visualization and getting people to embody what they want to become. So I do try to use a lot of this stuff in my work.
Yeah.
In massage, yeah.
So how did you get to massage? Because that's relatively new. But it's not what you're doing when I met you, I don't think.
No, I think that part of my business is like 5 years. But yeah, I had a...
Was that when you really found your true purpose?
It was an evolution.
Yeah, it's an evolution. That's better. Like, I was deliberately giving it capital letters there, but...
Evolution. But no, how I came to it is I guess I've been working in the holistic health world for about 15 years in different areas.
Mm.
So, like, I had a personal training, kind of health and fitness business, and then we did, lots of workshoppy well-being coaching stuff, nutrition stuff, and kind of led to.
But was that a moment for you, like
significant, that I went into that work?
Yeah. When did you decide to do that?
I was working in a job in Auckland that was stressing me out, and it wasn't necessarily that.
But the massage, not but when you went to the life coach, when you went to the massage.
Oh, what got me into that?
Yeah, I was just curious because I know about the doing the job you didn't want to do and taking the leap into the holistic health area.
Into massage, it was just subconsciously chipping away on my brain for years.
Right.
I could see it. I wanted to move more into working energetically with people. And whenever I saw that or it came up in my life, it was just, I knew that's where it was going to go. And an opportunity came to do it. And I, slowly transitioned into it, trained, and then slowly worked into it. And honestly, once I started that work, it was so clear to me that that was the right decision.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. My previous work, I felt like I had mastered it and I wasn't growing.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden I was into this massive new growth.
But it was a slow burn. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Mike, thank you for coming in.